Alrighty, I will call this Thursday, December 8th, Eastern Highland Health District Board of Directors meeting to order at 4:31-ish. Election of Board Officers, Chair, Vice Chair, and Assistant Treasurer. So we don't really formally have a nominating committee, so we do this at large. So I'll call for nominations for the position of chair.
Well, just for the sake of discussion, I did speak directly to the current officers, and they were all willing to throw their hat in the ring for the next year under the same positions.
Unless somebody wants it, raise your hand.
So somebody make a motion to.
So I make a motion to nominate our current chair, vice chair, and assistant treasurer for the.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded by Susan. Any further discussion or additional nominations?
Who's not here, we'll pick them.
Will the existing people accept the renominations? I will.
Yes.
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 All right, so I was asking the people for that, so now let's take a vote in favor of that. All in favor of re-electing the current slate, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much for the honor of serving you again. The motion carries. Approval of minutes of October 20th, 2022. The minutes were distributed. Any corrections or additional information?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Eric.
Second.
Seconded by Erica. Any changes? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any abstentions or votes to the contrary? Okay, I'll rule that the minutes are approved. Next item is public comment. I don't see anyone.
Did we get anything in the email or?
Nothing.
Okay.
So we'll move on to new business, proposed fiscal year 2023-2024 operating budget and CNR budget, set hearing date.
So I've got a presentation and information I want to share with the board on this matter. So we're going to share a screen here.
Let me just see who is chatting.
Who's chatting?
Come on. What is wrong with this thing?
Try it on a piece of paper.
Evan.
Okay.
Evan
got it.
Abstained.
Okay. One obsession. Good
man. All right. So now let's go to share screen. And you want.
No, over on the left.
This one.
Right there.
Yeah. Share it.
Okay. In your budget packet was. In your meeting packet was the budget cover memo and budget documents for proposed fiscal year 23-24 operating budget and capital non-reoccurring budget. The primary components of the proposed budget involve a 5.7% total increase in spending. For total requested spending of $981,114. This would incorporate a proposed 3.25% increase in the town contribution rate, which would place that rate at $5.87. The primary drivers of this budget are proposed increases in staff salaries, increases in benefit costs, increases in and increases in other operational expenditures. And you'll see we're sharing a screen. You see this table is also incorporated on the second page of the cover memo I provided in your meeting packet. And I'm going to go through each one of these items one by one and elaborate on them. And then after this, I'm also going to go through the capital non-reoccurring budget too. So what I'd like to do is kind of keep all the questions that the board may have and the discussion till after I complete the presentation, if that's okay with everybody. So that being said, you'll see on the table before you that the grant in aid, there's a proposed increase of 0.3% or $710. This really represents flat funding for the grant. Right at this point in time, we're not anticipating any changes in the state grant aid. Of course, the state has not started their budget process yet, so it's hard to say for sure and really anticipate with any kind of surety on where the state budget's going to play out. But generally, the state budget for this upcoming biennium, I think, is in a reasonably good state. So hopefully, anticipated flat funding is reasonable. The change that you see is the small change you see is primarily to an increase in the number of persons that are estimated in our total population. That number went up by 273 persons. The next item, downtown contribution rate. Here, as I said, I'm proposing a per capita rate increase of 3.25%, and that results with the change in population and a total line item increase of 3.6%. And what I want to do is, how do you forward this? Can't just click on that?
Yeah.
That's not. Let's show. Let's do this. Everything's blinded by this. There we go. Thank you. Okay, so can I advance this? There we go.
There you go.
Okay. So what I wanted to do here is part of my explanation for the increase in the town contribution rate was to make note of past town contribution rate increases and compare them to the Consumer Price Index, which is for all urban consumers from September to September each year. And this is a comparison of the Consumer Price Index rate, which informs our decision for next fiscal year. So every rate here, every CPA rate here, you see is actually a year behind the actual resulting percent increase in the town per capita rate. So I just wanted to note that, from fiscal year 18 to 20, we're reasonably compared. There's a bump. You see significant increases compared to the CPI for fiscal year 21. That was primarily driven by the fact that our enrollment for staff in medical insurance changed dramatically. We had two staff that went from payment in lieu to family coverage, and another staff person that went from individual to a couple. So our insurance line went up 50% that year. And we obviously were obligated to fund that. And then you see in the last 2 years there hasn't been an increase. Can we move this? There we go. So in this current year, you can see we're looking at 8.2% CPI, and it's in effect to a certain degree informing a proposed increase of 3.25%. So let's move on to this. So how do I back up? Here we go down here.
I think you can minimize that.
Yeah, I'm getting better at this. So that's the.
You can bring it all over the other side.
Yeah, do you want to minimize?
There we go. So it seemed reasonable. What I should also say that the practice of this office is try to keep the town per capita rate, as low as possible. Obviously, our five-year projection forward or roll forward plan for fund balance and the assumptions we made does include a 2.5% increase, annual increase in the town per capita rate, but given that there's been no increase in the past 2 years, it seemed reasonable to propose a 3.25% this year, balanced against the fact that we're also appropriating a certain amount of fund balance to balance the overall operating budget. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a second. The next item on this fee, on this table, is fee for service. You'll see that it's a change of 1.5% or about $3,700. There are a number of drivers affecting that affected this this number. It's based in part on no changes in our service fee category rates and our fee rates for service fees, permits, inspections, things like that. I'm not proposing any changes in the fee schedule. This also anticipates to a certain degree a slowdown in the economy, and is linked with linking it to a number of our land use service service areas. While this does reflect anticipating reduction in revenue overall, that reduction is actually offset by proposed new revenue stream that's incorporated into this budget, related and linked to our vaccination program. I'm proposing that we, as part of our annual seasonal flu vaccine program, that we start billing insurance and generating some revenue from that program. So a little bit more on that in a bit. Next item down, appropriation of fund balance. That's effectively the number necessary to balance the operating budget. I think it is important to note that all things being equal, based on the estimated proposed budget and estimated revenues, that as of the end of the fiscal year 24, we're estimating that we would still have 34.3% of our operating funds in the general fund balance. That's not counting what we'd also have in our capital non-reoccurring fund balance too at that time. That would be on top of the 34.3%. So moving on down to grant deductions on the expenditure side, we had some challenges with this budget proposal with grant deductions. There's a number of changes we are anticipating in our grants in the out years. The block grant, which we've been getting every year since the inception of the health district, is going competitive. So I believe it's no longer in kind of an entitled grant, and that's going to effectively shift a lot of the funds away from the rural districts and districts with a few more means to some of the urban centers. That being said, I think we're going to be competitive. We've been doing some unique things with policy systems and environmental changes for the past 15 years, and so we're going to certainly apply. And I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll get an award, but the block grant, but this budget does not, it only includes a portion of that because of the uncertainty. The other challenge with the grants is that the state health department is implementing new budgetary policies to local health departments. Most notably, local health directors cannot use the emergency preparedness grant to offset the health director's salary. We've been doing that for the past 20 years since the inception of the FEP grant, but this year they decided that health directors, because of their obligation statutorily to attribute 100% of their position to our role as health directors, that is interpreted as that we can't use grant money to fund our positions. At least under the FEP grant. There's other grants, I guess, is still a question, but that's liable to go away too. We'll have to wait and see. So that all being said, still able to get a reasonably good grant funding revenue source anticipated driven by the strength of the ELC grant, which is the grant we got to help us respond to the pandemic. That money's still going to be there, and it's going to be there well into this fiscal year. So things are kind of washing out in the laundry in that regard. Moving on down to salaries. You'll see that the aggregate increase is 2.8%, $17,988. A couple of points I want to make here. If all the staff were to get the same raise, this would fund a 3% raise for everybody. I acknowledge that that's a number that needs to be explained. There are a few things going on here. One, of course, is that the labor market is extremely challenging right now. We've got a number of senior sanitarians that I think it's critically important to work to retain. There are actually five environmental health vacancies within our specific labor market right now as we speak. Our health district operational structure is somewhat decentralized. Many of these sanitarians operate independently with minimal supervision because they man satellite offices part-time around the health district. And so we really need people and to retain people who are capable of operating independently with minimal supervision. That combined with the fact that the cost of living has gone up materially, I think it's appropriate to propose this number at this time. Moving on down to benefits, there are really two items driving this number: 9.8% increase, $22,344. Specifically, the medical health insurance premiums we're anticipating, at the recommendation of the Mansfield Department of Finance, we put a placeholder premium increase in there, 14%. It may be lower than that, but they're not going to have final numbers for us for a number of weeks. Hopefully, they'll have them for us before the next, before the January meeting, and hopefully that can inform a revised number on that line item. But right now, it's 14% increase specifically for medical insurance. The other increase that's driving this number is we had a regular part-time position that was authorized to have hours increased to 3/4 time last budget cycle, and we're just now catching up to funding the retirement portion of that position. The person's been eligible all along, but this year they finally started collecting. HR finally caught up, and so now we're obligated to fund the retirement benefit for that position that's now 3/4 time. I think it's important to note that most of that money will come from grants, since this position was 3/4 time. 3/4 time of that actually funded by grant money. So the actual cost to the health district is going to be a little over $800 or so. But the line item goes up accordingly. On the operations, there's quite a few line items that are being affected, that are affecting this. And what I've done here is this is a portion of our chart of accounts that cover all the operational expenses. Professional and technicals going up 44.6%. This is as a result of a new mandate from the state of Connecticut linked to the Childhood Protection Regulations. The blood lead level thresholds in which we're required by law to intervene and conduct an investigation in the home has gone down. as because those blood levels have gone down, we will end up doing a number of additional inspections and there are costs associated with those. They've told us that there's going to be separate revenue for this, for these services, but nobody has really shown local health the mechanism or the amount yet, and this starts January 1st next month. So I'm being cautious to a certain degree about how much money we're actually going to get. I believe we will get some money or some resources. I mean, they've floated the idea of them actually providing a staff, and we won't have to do it for some of the smaller health departments. But again, there's been no guidance as to exactly how how the structure is going to work and mechanisms are going to be.
It won't be until February when the governor's budget comes out.
There you go. As you can see, also, audit expenses have gone up $600. We don't have much choice on that. General liability, $250. Again, that's due to some additional coverage that we're paying for on the criminal side. Other purchase services, this is the contract we have with our software vendor, which provides our own online permitting and payment system. The contract's actually going to end. We're going to have to renegotiate terms, I'm sure. And so this is a placeholder 5% increase, whether it's that or not, I'm not sure yet. Clinical services, I spoke just a moment ago on the revenue side that we are going to anticipate as part of a new vaccination program for billing. We'll generate additional revenue, but conversely, will there also be additional expenses? To date, we've been able to use grant money to cover the clinical expenses for all the vaccine we've been administering, but that grant money is going to run out, and so we'll need to put some money into the operational budget to cover it. Gasoline, again, volatile market, so I'm adding 20% or $500. And administrative overhead, this is the payment to the town of Mansfield, contractual payment to the town of Mansfield for the services they provide us for IT, payroll, human resources and whatnot, and its increases are always linked to the CPI, so that's why it's at 8.2% contractually linked.
So they're increasing their salaries of their employees by 8.2%, right?
I don't think so. So that's the operating budget. What I'd like to do now is jump to the CNR budget, capital non-recurring budget. This column right here identifies proposed budget for the fiscal year 24. $3,000 on the revenue side, $3,000 coming in as part of a transfer in from general fund. $125,000. This is an equity fund transfer with quite a bit of money. Not quite a bit, but we have enough money in the general fund to make this transfer. We already authorized one transfer of $125,000 in the current fiscal year. This is consistent with the two-year plan to put in a total of $250,000. To fund a number of capital projects on the expenditure side that I'll go over in just a moment. Also on the revenue side, we actually made $5,200 with the last used car we sold. So hopefully we'll be able to make that much with the next one. Automobiles, so on the expenditure side, $27,000 for automobiles. You can see that's gone up, $2,000. The Finance Committee discussed the prospect of maybe increasing this to fund an electric plug-in vehicle. The notion being that the health department is a role model when it comes to environmental health. I did happen to look at some of the figures, some of the projected expenses for electric vehicles for next year. And $27,000 will get us a compact plug-in electric vehicle off the state contract. But a little bit more money may give us more options to consider. $8,000 for community health assessment. This is to pay a sole source vendor called Data Haven. They could do a community wellness survey, random digit dialing, cell phones, and they provide every 3 years great data to us on the demographics and on the health of those respondents within our community. Statistically significant because of the number of people they get to, and this is going to be an important part of any comprehensive community health assessment that we do for the agency. We're going to have to do that eventually because the state has now created that as a requirement under our annual reporting requirements under general statute. So we're going to have to do that at some point in time. And you can see in the out years, there's additional money earmarked for funding that. $50,000 for office reorganization. You may recall that I discussed the previous meetings that the town of Mansfield is building a brand new consolidated elementary school. They're going to be closing two school buildings down. They're going to be selling one, and a second one is kind of up in the air what they're going to do with it. But the hope is, at least on a temporary basis, that the health district would be able to move into this space. Right now, our space in the town hall in Mansfield is extremely compact and severely limiting. It's definitely affecting operations, our ability to go for more grant money, which could hire more people, because we simply have no more space. And so it's limiting our ability to do those things. So we're hopeful that at least temporarily we might get some space in the other building. The town of Mansfield has expressed interest there are plans to bond a new town hall building / a senior housing senior center. And the town of Mansfield has stated that it's their intent at this point in time to earmark space for the health district in that new building when and if it ever gets built. So this money would fund schematics and some small scale building of walls and stuff like that was necessary in the temporary building. So total spending of $85,000. So that completes my general presentation. Open it up for discussion. I'd be glad to answer any questions that anybody has.
Are there questions of the budget?
I would note that the Finance Committee did vote at the last Finance Committee meeting to authorize my agency to my office to forward this full budget as presented to the full board for consideration to forward it to a public hearing.
Discussion?
So, Rob, I think you did a pretty good job overall with the budget. And I always hate to propose increases in funding. But my suggestion is that you bump up the line item for purchasing the vehicle to around $29,000. Because if you are seriously contemplating buying an electric vehicle, a true battery electric, that gets you just over the threshold where you could probably get one of the Bolt EVs off the government contract. That would be my only comment.
Okay, thank you. I see a question from Heather on there.
Heather wrote in, the health district would move into one of the old elementary schools. Isn't there asbestos-like coliform issues in those buildings?
So the answer to that is there are code-complying issues associated with that with those buildings. A conversation with the building office, building official in the town of Mansfield, is necessary to determine what would be necessary to change the use for those buildings, because this issue has been noted, and will obviously need to be addressed before it's occupied by the health district or any other entity.
Electric vehicle has been mentioned. I do want to point out that there is next to no availability for charging in the Mansfield area. So just think about that if you're planning to charge a vehicle. I have an electric vehicle and it's miserable.
So it depends. Excuse me for being rude, but it depends what district it's assigned. Town of Coventry has 16 more coming in through the Eversource and Volkswagen money, and we already have 4. So clearly you would only assign it to where there's adequate charging. So it's a good point.
Yeah, it is a good point.
But some of us have been proactive in applying for those grants and getting them in.
And this is Ken. Also keep in mind, if it's a plug-in hybrid, it could just be plugged in overnight to a regular, 110. You don't require a full level 2 charger.
Yeah. Ryan Aylesworth, who is on the Finance Committee in this topic of available charging stations, was discussed at that time, and he noted that the town of Mansfield is anticipating a material increase in the number of charging stations around town buildings in the near. I'm not exactly sure when he said, but he did said that there are plans and a number of additional charging stations are going in.
Right now, there was a program where basically you can get them virtually free between the combination of the two grants. We actually went through CCM's vendor, Titan, and they did all the paperwork for us.
Huh.
We just had to sign forms.
Interesting. So, yeah, well, we'll definitely have to adjust, we'll definitely have to adjust the vehicle assignment to wherever it can operate with minimal disruption.
One thing I think you might want to just be cognizant of, if you do change buildings for the health department, the way the regulations read on change of use of buildings, you might be required to put in electric chargers at the building whether you use them or not. I think it's a little unclear to me from reading through the legislation that got passed last year whether that's the case. We're looking into that for our new community center, whether we actually legally have to add more electric chargers or not. And it all comes down to, basically parking for what you've got. So before you commit to the move, make sure you understand those costs, because you may be having to build those costs into the move.
Or Mansfield may have to.
Or Mansfield may have to.
Okay, thank you.
Other comments on the budget? So this is the starting point. If people feel comfortable with this as a starting point, the appropriate motion would be to send it to the public hearing.
There is a recommended motion in the fourth page of the cover memo.
Okay, I'll read it out. Move to set public hearing date of Thursday, January 19th, 2023 at 4:30 p.m. to receive the public's comments regarding the Eastern Highlands Health District proposed fiscal year 2023/2024 operating budget, capital non-reoccurring budget, as presented on December 8th, 2022. I'll second.
Seconded by Mark Walter. Discussion.
Is it going to be as presented, or is it going to be with an electric vehicle at $29,000?
Good question.
Uh,
It's really up to the group here what they wish to do. That clearly could be amended that night as an alternative to give Rob some time to research it a little bit further.
Sure.
So it's really up to the it's really up to the group which you wish to do. There could be an amendment right now to amend that motion to increase that by $2,000.
Yep.
By $2,000, or we could do it at that meeting.
Yeah, I think we should amend it, because why should we work with the rock bottom figure? That's very limiting.
Okay.
It sounds like a motion to be all second.
So it's been moved by Susan and seconded by Jim. So right now we'd be voting on the amendment to increase the CNRE off allocation for automobile to 29,000.
Correct.
Further discussion on the amendment?
I'll accept the amended motion.
As will I.
So yep. I'm hearing a lot of all in favors. Any opposition? One opposition? Okay. Let it be noted, Heather.
She's not opposing.
Okay.
Adamantly not opposing.
Okay, I'm sorry. And it's noted some brands of chargers are in the chat. You mentioned some brands of chargers break. Depends which ones you're buying, and that is a true fact that some are not as reliable as others. I declare the motion passed. Amended motion passed. Let's go back to the main motion. All in favor of the main motion, please say aye.
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 Sounds unanimous. Thank you. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
So moving on to the next new business is the comprehensive annual financial report.
So typically we have somebody from the finance department here in Mansfield helping us with this, but they've got an interim director, and so her time is very much limited. What I can tell you is that this was a clean audit, that our auditors did not find any material issues to report, and it would be appropriate. Also in here is a letter from the auditor reporting on internal controls and an auditor's communication to the board. It would be appropriate for the board to accept the audit as presented. If there are any specific questions about the audit, we can certainly hold off on accepting the report, and I can go take those questions back to Mansfield's file to the finance department if necessary.
So, moving forward, I would say the appropriate thing would be to consider a motion to accept the audit as presented. Then we could have discussion on that. Is there a motion?
So moved.
It's been moved by Erica. And seconded, was that Susan or? I'm sorry, I couldn't see.
It was Eric.
Eric, I'm sorry. Discussion on a proposed motion to accept the audit. Clean audit is a clean audit. So, hearing no discussion, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Unanimously approved. Thank the Mansfield Finance Department.
Yeah, ours is the only audit they were able to do on time. We're thankful for that.
Okay, town reports. I think some people have to leave rather quickly tonight, so we'll try to keep them on the health district appropriate topics. Mark, you want to start?
Trying to think if there's anything. I think rumor is the winery Archstall will carry beer now. So,
oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited. I'm not much of a wine guy. And Maine moves to close for the season, so and COVID is zooming around our town hall. We've had about 5 people come down with it, so that has not been fun.
No.
I guess I'm waiting for the flu season next after guarding. I'm sure we'll fill us in on what we can expect. But that's all I have to
know. Okay. Eric?
Got a lot going on in Andover right now. We do have our electric car chargers up and running finally.
Cool.
So that's good. We haven't figured out how to actually charge people for them yet, which we may at some point, but they're certainly running, and I've seen cars plugged into them, so that's good. Other than that, we're just waiting on a bunch of grants that we're submitting, and just prepping for budget season right now.
Turn the volume. Yeah, there we go. All right, Susan?
Well, we have a few things going on. I made a short list here. We have a salt shed that we are...
Oh.
Oh,
boy.
The best part will be if they can still hear us.
They can still hear us, right? No.
No.
You've got it on.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. All right,
we're back.
Don't touch the remote. Go ahead.
$700,000 to renovate the town hall, which is in desperate need of renovation. That came through, so that is our good news right now.
Great. Jim?
From the town of Bolton, part of health related, we just had a ribbon cutting for our new All Town Fresh gas station yesterday. And of course, the health district was very involved in getting them open, since they are, aside from being a filling station, they are a food service establishment. They have a full kitchen and a chef, and they provide what they consider a fresh alternative. It's a kind of a boosted up model of pretty much what Cumberland Farms is doing, but healthier and fresher options.
And they have gluten-free options too.
And they have gluten-free options, and we are very happy to have them. It is it's located at the intersection of Route 44 and Bolton Separate Road, where the Bolton Mobile used to be. So that's very exciting. So I think that's really all that's happening, from our perspective on the public health front.
Okay, Erica?
Sure. So I'll start with, if you haven't had breakfast at the Flat Penny, which is the former River and Rail or Track 9, they're open for breakfast. They anticipate beginning dinner service soon, and they have a limited specialty adult beverage menu. So they began serving liquor maybe 2 weeks ago. So that's been exciting. So another option in town. We too have been hit by the, I won't even say just COVID, it's a plethora of respiratory illnesses sweeping through the town hall. I think officially we're down to one in the finance office who hasn't been affected, and we're seeing large numbers out in our schools as well. So I don't have anything new to report. We are maybe 2 months from a potential merge of our schools, and then a look at facilities there. We have desperate need of
which
to our town hall. So we're looking at consolidating to one pre-K through 8 school.
Which building they're going to?
We don't know. Okay. So we're looking at 2 paths. By February 1st, the committee should make a determination of new school, new site, or renovating all school. We have ruled out center school is not large enough to combine.
Okay.
Okay.
And so we've just gotten financial figures there. It's extraordinary,
yeah,
to say the least. But so, you know, we have a 100-year-old school and then about a 70-year-old school, which are in desperate need of help. So, you know, I see Heather's concerns about their schools. We feel all of that. So, and we should begin the new septic. We're still waiting for engineer to finish up so we can go out to bid on the steep grant that we had for putting the septic system in at the old town hall.
Heather, do you have anything to share? Okay, from Coventry, Health District related, we're on a list for funding for the Drinking Water Act through the state of Connecticut for two very large projects that we applied for. One would interconnect the village water system to a water system on the other side of the lake, which has supply problems. Another one would connect the village water system to the Nathan Hale water system off of South Street, and then extend down a South Street extension to pick up five houses that have salt contaminated wells. So those are multi-million dollar grants.
Is that enough to get it?
It's really a loan. So we're working with Connecticut Water on both of those. So we'll see how it all works out. We're on a short list, funded list, a lot of it's a low interest loan that we would pay off over the life of it. The town would be the fiduciary, and as the loans are paid off, we would transfer ownership, prorated ownership, back to Connecticut Water. So they're paying for it using a low interest loan, and so very complicated, and hopefully it will continue to work out. We're waiting for Congress to actually adopt a budget, so we'll find out if we get the $1 million for the $1.5 million through the federal grant for sewer connection through Bolton into the town of Manchester. Last week we applied for three grants. It was a busy week in my office, but we applied for a BRIC grant, a FEMA BRIC grant. If you want to see the most arduous grant ever created, building resiliency. And that would fund the underground wiring for our microgrid project for up here. So that's $1.5 million. There was a $2 million set aside for the state, and they only have one other application, so we're feeling pretty good about that. We applied for a $11 million project to replace the unit ventilators and get fresh air into the high school and air conditioning under the school air grants. They would give us 59% of that. We do have to go to a referendum because we have to show that we would fund it if something happened. So we have a special town meeting for a week from this coming Monday. And we're supposed to hear about that by the end of January so that we could actually start construction in next summer. But we've got the roofs replaced on most of the high school and Robertson School, and the next phase will do the air intakes for the high school to get fresh air. The unit ventilators will come out from underneath the windows and be in the center classrooms and meet all the noise and energy efficiency standards. So we've got a lot of stuff going on here. For those that haven't heard, I'll share that I am retiring in July because there's just too many projects to do. I'm turning 65, and it's time to look at something else. So we're doing good stuff, and my team here is just hitting on all cylinders, so we're really proud of them. Two restaurants are finally starting to talk about opening. Woke, which is a breakfast place where Pizza on Main.
It's not a political message.
Yeah, not political. It's not going over well in the community, by the way. Don't name your restaurant Woke. Awake, maybe? Funeral, I don't know. But So they've started very slowly looking at it, and we're down the bottom of the hill here, where there was an ice cream place. They're saying that they're working on it, but the health district hasn't received any permits that I know of. Mm-hmm. But they're saying, well, what's holding up things? It's like, you are. So we'll see how it all goes. We had a very successful Main Street, and a health district was involved in some special permits there. But anyway, that's what we got. Anybody, I miss anyone? Want to do Dr. Dardick's report now?
Sure.
Dr. Dardick, why don't you share?
Well, I think the main thing to share is that there's just a great deal of influenza. I'd say for the last 2 weeks, we're seeing more cases of flu than we are of COVID, which is a real turnaround. For the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, influenza has mostly been a late season event, if at all. You know, March, April, even into May, last couple of years, we were seeing cases. And November, December, January, very little. Well, we've just been blown away by cases in the last month. So it's real. And, you know, people are sick. I can't say they've been terribly sick. You know, we're hoping to get a lot of people vaccinated in our office. I think we've given something like 1,700 doses of the vaccine already, so we're on target compared to past years. But there are still people who've not been vaccinated, and we're still trying to encourage them to step forward and get the vaccine. Monkeypox is no more. It is now officially Mpox. It's the disease didn't go away. They just renamed it. But in fact, the numbers of cases seem to have plateaued. I think in Connecticut, a total of 143 has been relatively stable for the last few weeks. And the World Health Organization, I believe, is going to take it off its list of emergency illnesses in the next week or so. COVID still around. Again, people are becoming ill with it, but as I've been reporting for the last few months, most of these cases are seeming to be in the Omicron family, which is mostly upper respiratory. So it's interesting, if people call our office and they talk of it and they say, I'm sick and I've got a runny nose and a sore throat and a head cold, that's more likely to be COVID. And if they say, I've been sick for the last 2 days with severe pulmonary respiratory problems, it's more likely to be flu. And that's my report.
Thank you, Dr. Park. All right, finance committee, do we need
that? No, but there is the quarterly report, just for the board's information, for financial statements for the period ending September 30th, 2022, was reviewed and accepted by the finance committee at their last meeting.
Okay, director's report.
So at the last meeting, members may recall there were some inquiries and discussion around settlement funds that are modest amount of settlement funds that are coming to the towns directly as part of a multi-state settlement by attorneys general against the opioid industry. In the state of Connecticut, and there's about $300 million over the next 18 years coming into the state, and 15% of that is going directly to the towns and the cities. And so at the board's request, I did a little bit of research and put together some information regarding options on what the towns can use these funds for. Identified basic categories for spending. Certainly the easiest, I mean, these are really small numbers for each of the individual towns that we're talking about. Certainly it would be easy simply to give these, just to hand these funds down to your local prevention council and let them work on whatever as it pertains to what they generally do, is often messaging. But I didn't see, from my perspective, that would have any kind of material or significant effect given the amount of funds. Harm reduction is another area for spending consideration. There's a lot of good work out there occurring in harm reduction. The health district itself has been engaged over the years, has had some experience with that. Indirectly, mostly we've been doing messaging over the years. But there's a couple agencies out there, the Connecticut Harm Reduction Alliance, for example. They do events, they do trainings, they hand out Narcan. If a town wanted to consider using their amount of money, they could simply, donate it to the Connecticut Harm Reduction Alliance. You don't really need to give them a donation to encourage them to come to your town to do an event. They'll probably do it anyway. But they do a number of different types of events. Or if the town wants, they could buy Narcan and do their own harm reduction program. I do put one example in here. You could buy Narcan, and your local EMS could develop a leave behind program. There are a number of them around the state in which every time EMS makes a response, it administers Narcan or has some reason, and then the patient declines transport, or for some other reason sees an at-risk party at the dwelling, they can leave behind a Narcan kit for use by whoever's in the household. They'll do a quick training on the scene and leave the kit. And this is actually part of the statewide EMS protocols. It's actually written into the statewide EMS protocols. A lot of EMS groups don't necessarily want to do it because it's extra paperwork and whatnot. But it's still an option to consider if you want to do your own little harm reduction thing. And then finally, the health district, or at least my office, felt it was a pretty good idea to consider donating these funds to the many organizations that do that engage in various treatment strategies. And there are a number of organizations, and the reason the health district is suggesting that is because the demand has significantly increased over the past 5 or 6 years. Now, while there is a lot of money coming into the state for this purpose through these settlement funds, I don't think my sense is that these organizations who's implementing these treatment strategies will be able to put these monies to reasonable use, to good use. And so ultimately that's what the health district is suggesting you do. But also there are these other opportunities to consider too. So that's what the memo reflects as a general overview. If anybody has any questions or wants to explore harm reduction strategies or discuss some of the more details, feel free to call my office and I'd be glad to have a further conversation about it. Be glad to answer any questions on this topic.
So thank you, Rob. I forwarded your memo. Our Human Services office pulled together, I think it's up to 16 towns met to talk about how to jointly use these funds versus singularly to have more impact.
Great.
I haven't heard the outcome of that meeting. I think it was today.
Mm-hmm.
But your memo was forwarded to them.
Good.
as an overview. So any other comments or questions for Rob on this? Thank you very much.
So the second item under my report, the state of Connecticut received, the CDC's awarded $3 billion to states and large municipalities for workforce development and infrastructure improvements. The state of Connecticut is getting $39 million over the next 5 years for that purpose. The local health departments is getting 40% of 31 million of that 39, which if you look at the second page of item 5 in your packet, outlines the distribution of funds to local health departments will be getting 12 million in year one to local health. They're going to be, there's going to be a formulary It's probably going to be a base per capita rate, and then there's other demographic and geographical factors that are going to be used to provide a weighted formulary. Social vulnerability index, I'm sure, will be used. So certainly those urban centers with higher need are going to get a higher percentage of these funds than some of the other health departments that don't serve those high need areas. I don't know what the formula, I don't know exactly what our award at the local health department at Eastern Highlands will be yet. My professional association is on the steering committee work group with DPH, which will hammer out this formula and also fill in the details of the work plan on how that $39 million are going to be spent over the next 5 years. Interestingly, under the grant, the health district doesn't have to apply for the funds, they just have to give it to us. And there's a minimum amount of reporting, and we can pretty much use it for anything we want. So there appears to be more flexibility in the use of these funds as compared to past awards. It's really difficult for me to estimate on what our award would be, but more to come on this. I'll certainly keep the board up to breast on this as we get more
information. Rob, you may want to go back to your association to mention that rural health has unique needs and sometimes get lost in it because we're not as politically tuned in, but yeah. We don't have all the resources that other urban areas have, and sure. I understand there's different urban needs,
yep,
but I think it underestimates the rural need for services, and I'll just use the trend right now towards eliminating birthing units in all rural areas in the state, right. Which is just disastrous.
Right.
We're seeing it really both ends of the state, and it's just, are you sure. kidding me? So I think we need to, you know, be a little bit vocal to say,
yep.
Yes, there are urban areas, low-income areas have certain needs, but don't forget that a lot of those issues and there's dramatic drug and other health issues in the rural areas too.
Sure.
So just don't forget us. You know, there's some rich suburban areas that may not need as much because they have market volume. Without the volume of people, you don't get the services.
Right.
So, thank you.
I completely agree, thank you.
Any other comments on that? No.
So next, I wanted to share with you that my agency participated in a luncheon at the State Health Department hosted by the commissioner.
Hold it to the
camera.
As part of that luncheon, let's see, can you see that? There we go. Governor's office awarded Eastern Highlands Health District and a number of other health districts an official statement of recognition and honor, acknowledging also in celebration of National Public Health Workers Day. I won't read this whole thing, but it's the governor's office conveying their sincere appreciation to the many residents that are employed by or volunteered for our public health districts and departments who valiantly rose to the occasion during the COVID-19 pandemic and in doing so prevented the worst possible health outcomes during a moment of unprecedented crisis by coordinating public health services for well-being of all the community members, in particular the most vulnerable populations, including the elderly, the homebound, low-income, uninsured. Local health organizations provided testing, vaccination, epidemiological investigations, monitoring, and more. The courageous efforts made by your respective organizations over the past several years are deserving of the highest praise. Each and every one of you is a testament to the power of the indomitable human spirit and the successes that are accomplished when we work together united toward a common goal. The state of Connecticut owes you a debt of gratitude for your heroic deeds you have made and continue to make throughout the pandemic. As we thoughtfully put the knowledge we have gained into practice, the results you have achieved to make Connecticut once again a safe and healthy place for all are deserving of the highest praise. Therefore, I, Ned Lamont, Governor of the State of Connecticut, on this day of Monday, November 21st, 2022, do hereby officially convey honor and recognition upon the Eastern Highlands Health District in the State of Connecticut. Signed, Ned Lamont. Yay. So we'll frame this and put it up on the main office.
Great.
Quarterly reports. So yeah, in your packet is the quarterly activity report. There's nothing in particular I wanted to highlight in here.
Thank you,
Erica.
Sorry.
Yep. I think what I want to do is go on to unless there's any questions for the quarterly activity report document, I'm going to move on to the COVID-19 activity report, because there's something I want to point out in there. Most notably, our COVID-19 vaccination activities on page 3. I updated the numbers for the total doses we've administered since the beginning of the pandemic. But the second bullet point, our funding source has transitioned away from ELC1 to ELC2, and the criteria under that funding and the objectives under the funding are modified a bit. While we're certainly still doing booster clinics and COVID-19 vaccination clinics, the focus of the clinic has been expanded to include a strong educational component and educational and prevention component pursuant to the work plan of ELC2. So we're now we're handing out hard copy educational information, home test kits. We're showing videos for those individuals who are in their 15-minute after vaccination monitoring period. So we've substantially expanded our educational piece there. And that's kind of an essential component of the new funding source going forward for the next 16 months or so. Any questions related to COVID? The only other thing I think we all know by now, we continue to see cases which have been effectively plateaued over the past number of months, all going all the way back to August. It's very interesting. But like Dr. Dardick, we too have been getting additional reports on flu and on absenteeism among a handful of schools in our district. So our staff is working with those schools as needed. So that's what I've got on the COVID-19 report. Any questions?
Don't see any.
Okay, and then the last item is just, you know, our annual report that we publish and push out there. I just wanted to make sure everybody had their own original copy. But you don't.
No.
You got it digitally. If you want an original copy, let us know, and we'll send it to you. But we'll be distributing these in some of the town buildings around the health district. And then finally, under communications, one thing I did want to point out, item 10, fiscal year 21, local health annual report feedback. Under state statute, we're obligated to provide an annual report to the state health department. And the content of the information we're required to provide the state health department has evolved significantly over the years. Pretty much to whatever the state health department wants. But most recently, it's aligned the content, it's changed the content to align with the 10 essential services. which are also now incorporated in state statute in the state of Connecticut. And the State Health Department has created these very specific deliverables, which fall under those 10 essential services. And in the feedback document we got, the health district has fallen short on a number of those deliverables. That's mostly due to the pandemic. We were reporting out on this particular annual report last year during the end of the pandemic, and still kind of recovering from that. I anticipate making very good progress on a number of those items that they've identified we've fallen short of in this coming report that I will be submitting late next month. So I just wanted to bring that to the board's attention. Beyond that, that's what I got.
Any questions or comments? Hearing none, we're up to the next item, which is adjournment. Is there a motion? Moved by Mark Walters.
Seconded
by Eric Anderson. All in favor, please say aye. You don't really have to vote on it. Thank you. Thank you very much. See you all soon.
Next meeting is January 19th. Great.
Bye.
Sure.
It's not part of the meeting, but a separate question is for myself.
Sure. Okay.
Since you're still there. But again, this isn't for the minutes or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering that I'm a new board member and I'm attending meetings, but is there something else I should be doing to be more helpful to, I don't know.
Oh, geez, sorry.
I just
stop
want to make sure
recording.
That I'm meeting the expectations. I vote on things, I think about things, but I haven't really been doing anything else. And I don't know if there are things that I should be doing.
Let me start with that and then turn it over to Rob. So thank you for the offer, first off. We used to do a little bit more proactive things, and COVID kind of slowed things up. So I think we're going to start re-emerging.